Wow, already, what a blessing, what a Sabbath, what Shabbat Shalom. It is truly a beautiful Sabbath. I mean, you discovered that, didn't you, on your way here? Beautiful sunshine, and looked around you, and you saw the flowers and the trees, and listened to God speaking through the wind and the trees, and listened to God speaking through the birds, and all the beauty of His created nature. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. There still remains, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The people of God. Who is that? Is that you? Do you consider yourself God's child? One of God's people? So there is a rest. And of course, if you look there, it says, make every effort then to enter that rest. Okay, we're going to try something here. And this is not meditation or anything. But why can't we just take a collective inhale some air this morning of God's... Let's do it. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, wasn't that beautiful? Breathing in the air that God provides for us. We take it for granted, don't we? Yeah, you know, oxygen, no problem. It's there. It's always there. We don't have to worry about it. You'd be surprised, though, how important that first breath is. You know, you don't really recognize it or realize it until you have a child or you watch a baby born. Ryan is our youngest, and he was born in Michigan. And in the wintertime, Michigan is a really cold place. In fact, the winters tend to want to run right into the summers. I remember snowfall in June. Snowfall in June, imagine that. And the pregnancy was a difficult one. In fact, a number of years before, we had lost one of our pregnancies. My wife went through a difficult experience. And this one wasn't promising to be a very good pregnancy either. In fact, my wife spent the first trimester flat on her back in bed, worried, sick, that we were going to lose this one. And we prayed daily. We prayed daily that God would just keep that baby safe. And finally, the pregnancy took, and my wife was going to school at the time. I remember seeing her across campus, because we were going to school on the same campus there at Andrews, and I remember seeing her all bundled up in this down coat that she had, and she was as pregnant as you can get. And the buttons were literally popping in the front. And here, it was like she was carrying a watermelon. And this coat barely fit. And I remember seeing her just tripping across the ice and the snow. And I remember praying, God, keep her safe. Don't let her fall. Please keep her safe. And there she was going to class, studying anatomy and physiology and all those wonderful classes that you take for nursing. And then the day came, I received a phone call at work. My wife said, I think we better get to the hospital. It was about, probably around 8 o'clock in the evening. I was at work at the Ellen White Research Center. And I dashed home, made a mad rush home, crossed campus, down those sidewalks, cut across the grass into the little apartment that we had, and ran outside to my 1975 Mustang that was a piece of junk, and I prayed, Lord, get this car started, help us to make it to the hospital safely. She bundled up, got her in the car. We made the mad dash to St. Joseph, a little town not too far from Berrien Springs, and we dashed in to the hospital. The doctor was called. The nurses began to minister to my wife, attend to her. And I was worried sick. because Ryan was coming almost 4 weeks too early. I was worried sick through the whole pregnancy, quite frankly. I didn't tell her that until later. I had visions of losing another child. And so we went through all the breathing exercises and the focusing and breathing, Lamaze stuff, you know. And for several hours, she was there in labor. And then I remember standing there and watching my son born. What a wonderful experience that was. But I was worried sick, and I held my breath. I waited for that scream, because that scream was so important, because that meant that he had taken his first breath. Yes, and he was blue when he came out. Little tiny rugrat, little tiny, tiny, the smallest baby I've ever seen. I'm sure there are smaller ones, but to me, he was very small. And then, of course, there was the scream. And then I knew that he had taken his first breath. Breathing, kids, is pretty important. How about this? Have you ever thought of saying to your friend, why don't you breathe for me for a while? I'm going to stop breathing and you just do the breathing for me. You think that would work? Not unless you were doing CPR, right? Or what if you just said, I'll just put my breathing on hold for a little while. I'll just put it on pause, you know. I'm not going to breathe for a couple of hours. Do you think that would work? Unlike some of our mammal friends who can dive to great depths in the ocean and spend, you know, half an hour, maybe an hour under the ocean, we can't do that, can we? What's the longest you can hold your breath? 30 seconds? Anybody can do it for a minute? Minute 20. You've tried it, huh? 2 minutes? Anybody can do it 2 minutes? Anybody out here? Okay, Tracy, 2 minutes. Dave, 2 minutes. Who can do it 3 minutes? Anybody here can do it 3 minutes? 4 minutes? Really? Come up here and show me. 4 minutes. How about a 5 minute? Okay, there are actually people who have trained to hold their breath for 4 minutes, sometimes a little more, and they dive to great depths in the ocean. They have a contest to see who can do that and how deep they can dive, free diving it's called, without tanks, just holding your breath. It's scary, isn't it? Breathing is vital. Vital. Oxygen is so important to the function of our body. I know that because I have a little problem. I'll just share it with you. I have sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is a problem that you have when you're sleeping, you stop breathing. Literally. I didn't know it until my wife told me, you know, you need to go see the doctor because at night you stop breathing, I have to bump you and make you start breathing again. And she was afraid. She was scared. And I said, oh, no big deal. Don't worry about it. Yeah. For a whole year, my wife hounded me. I finally went to the sleep test, the place where they do the sleep tests. They hooked me all up to wires. They had this big machine. They told me to go to bed. I went to bed. I finally fell asleep because I had this really weird mask on my face. And I had a serious problem. Okay, I stopped breathing many, many times. I can't even remember how many times within a 30 to 40 minute period. So the doctor told me I have to wear a CPAP machine, which is a mask. It kind of looks like a fighter pilot's mask like this. You know, you've seen guys in jets. So I always tell my wife, okay, now we're getting ready to take off. Let's put our masks on. You know, are you ready? Okay. You know, I joke a lot about it. And when I get up at night, you know, to go get a drink or something, my dog at first would bark at me. She was afraid of who I was because I kind of sounded like Darth Vader, you know. You know, so everybody was afraid of me at first. But now they just accept it. Breathing is so vital because if I don't get oxygen to my lungs, then my heart becomes stressed because it's not getting the oxygen that it needs and the whole body then responds and it shuts down. How about our physical, that's our physical bodies. What about our spiritual bodies? You ever thought about that? All week long, we hyperventilate. We're going here, we're going there, we're huffing and puffing, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and we're thinking about this, and we're looking at this, and we're getting all this overload of information going through our minds. We're hyperventilating all through the week. But on Sabbath, we need to stop and learn to inhale. We need to learn to inhale deeply of God's love and grace. You know, when you inhale deeply, because that's one of the problems, the doctor also told me that I'm a shallow breather. I breathe really shallow. I don't breathe deeply. So they made me go through this thing where I had to learn to breathe properly. I learned to inhale deeply into my lungs. I tend to, you know, what's weird, I do artwork sometimes. I mean, when I'm doing art, I hold my breath. I don't know why. It's really stupid, but I do it. And then I realize my dad does the same thing, and I realize my uncle does too. My uncle is a professional artist, and he bites his tongue like this, and he holds his breath while he's drawing. But we need to learn to inhale deeply in our spiritual lives of God's grace. That's what helps us get through the week. All week long, we're hyperventilating. All week long, we're busy doing all of these things. But on the seventh day, God rested from His work. On Sabbath. You know, I got to thinking about this, and as I was reading in the Word, I realized that learning to inhale God's grace into our souls is really a process of learning to listen to God. Inhaling. You see, it's hard to talk when you're inhaling. Some people can do it. You can do it. It's hard, isn't it? When you exhale is when you're talking. And as long as you're talking, you're not listening. Isn't that right? So on Sabbath, we need to learn to inhale. We need to learn to listen to God. Don't always be exhaling and talking to God. Listen to God once in a while. He has a lot to say. He has a lot to share. But when we're talking, when we're yakking and we're yapping and we're exhaling constantly, we're always got ideas and information and plans, God can't help us. But when we learn to inhale, when we learn to partake of God's grace and fill our hearts and our souls with everything that He has for us, we are then listening to God. It's pretty hard to inhale deeply and not be conscious of it. Think about it. We breathe shallow. We have this rhythm as we breathe. But to say, okay, now I want you to breathe and inhale deeply, you have to stop and think about inhaling deeply. Most people do. And usually when you inhale deeply, sometimes it leads to a yawn. Because you're filling your lungs up so full, you notice that? And we're so tired. And Sabbath is a day of rest. Isn't that wonderful? It's okay to yawn once in a while. Not while I'm preaching, though. But it's okay to yawn once in a while on Sabbath because God said it's a day of rest. See? It's a day of rest. God breathed and the world came into existence. Think about that. God breathed and man became a living being. God breathed through Jesus Christ, and all humanity had hope. God stopped breathing through Jesus Christ on the cross, and we all held our breath. All the universe held its breath while Jesus hung there on the cross, and His heart stopped beating. His lungs stopped functioning. He stopped inhaling oxygen. He died on the cross, and all the universe held its breath. Oh, but on Sunday morning, God, through Jesus Christ, inhaled that oxygen. His life was filled again. His heart began to beat again. His lungs were filled with oxygen. He came forth from the tomb victorious, and all the universe sang for joy because God, through Jesus Christ, was breathing hope into a lost humanity. The breath of God is what keeps us all alive. Did you know that? Keeps us alive. So let's just do a little inhalation therapy here, a little breathing here this morning. Are you ready? You ready to do some breathing in God's Word? Number one. Inhale. Okay, listen to this. The Sabbath celebrates our existence. It celebrates our existence as human beings and sets us free to worship God. The Sabbath celebrates our existence. Exodus chapter 20. Don't have to go far. God is our creator. He is our creator. And we are created beings. Sometimes we get that turned around. It's like we're always trying to figure God out, like he's something that we can put under a microscope and look at, break him down genetically, psychologically, figure him out. Man, that's reversed roles. God created us. We are the created beings. God is supreme. God is eternal. God is everything that we aren't. We are created beings. We need to learn on Sabbath to celebrate our existence. Don't take your existence for granted, folks. Celebrate the fact that God created us with a purpose. We are His created beings. It's interesting, if you look at Exodus chapter 20, and you've read it many, many times, it, as you know, is the Ten Commandments. And what's interesting is that Exodus chapter 20 goes, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Okay, and it goes on. You've heard it many times. God created in 6 days. On the seventh, He rested. Exodus chapter 20 emphasizes the fact that we are God's created beings. We exist because of God. Inhale that. All right. Inhale that. That's incredible. Think about it. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, a couple books over, if you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We have again a reminder to the children of Israel that their God is supreme. He is the creator God. But you know what the emphasis here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is? Let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The emphasis in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is not the creator God, it's the sustainer God. It's the God that frees you from slavery. It's the God that frees you from the burdens in your lives. Do you see the difference? Exodus talks about the creator God. Deuteronomy talks about the God that sets free His people. Whew. Deuteronomy reveals a God of salvation. We have been set free from the bondage of life, the things of life. We are set free on Sabbath from the things of life so that we might worship our Creator, Savior, God. You like that? Breathe that one in. Huh? Take a deep breath on that one. Wow. God is our Creator. God is our Savior. God is a gracious God. And so Sabbath, what's it all about? It's about salvation. It's about redemption. It's about freedom. Number two. Here's another one. Number two. Inhale this one. The Sabbath is a sign of who we are collectively. Mm-hmm. Some people say, oh, I'm okay at home. I worship God at home. I turn on my television on Saturday and Sunday, and I watch all these preachers, and that's enough for me. I don't need anything more than that. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. God didn't just create one person. He created two. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. God created more than one person. There is power in a collective worship of God. Exodus 31:13, and I won't go into it, you can look at that, but Exodus 31:13 basically says, you are special, you are set apart for the Lord. Inhale that. You are special. No matter how you feel this morning, no matter how rotten this last week was, God sees you as someone who is special and important. And you are set apart for the Lord. Ezekiel 20:12 and verse 20 also says, you are a covenant people. All right? A covenant people. The Bible goes on to tell us that we are of a royal bloodline. You ever wonder what genetically where you fit into the whole scheme of things? Well, genetically, you are a royal bloodline. You are special. You're of royal blood. And you're covenant people. So, the bottom line is, the Sabbath reveals to us that we have roots. You like that? We have roots. And the Sabbath is God's stamp. Okay? It's His stamp on our lives that says, you're special, you're important, you have roots, you have an identity, you're part of my bloodline, you're royalty. And I believe that if the Sabbath is kept in the proper way and is cherished, it will always remind us of who we are. We will never forget our identity. Okay, here's the third one. Inhale this. The Sabbath is a day of restoration. Restoration. You know what a restoration is? I know what a restoration is in terms of automobiles. It's a lot of work. I got one sitting in my driveway that's been there for 9 years. Hasn't moved. Can't move. The tires are flat. I have two. I have my son's in the backyard and I have mine in the front driveway. My son's has sat there literally for 9 years. It came down from Washington and it never moved another inch. Mine came shortly after and it hasn't moved much either. Because I know in my mind, I've done it before, I know what a restoration means. It means you got to take the body off the frame. You got to take the frame in and get it sandblasted. You got to get it powder coated. You have to take all the nuts and bolts and replace them. You have to take the body and strip it down to bare metal or bare fiberglass or whatever you're working on. And then you have to painstakingly paint that thing and restore that thing, and then you got to put it back together. You got to put new upholstery in, new carpet in. You got to put all new gauges in. You got to put a new engine and a new transmission in. And you got new tires. You got to do all this. It literally takes years, full time, to restore a car properly. So if anybody wants a 57 T-Bird, just let me know. Because 10 years from now, it's still going to be sitting there. My wife would love to see it gone. The Sabbath is a restoration. It's a time when we allow God to take us apart and put us back together. We come in on Sabbath morning all disjointed, all turned upside down, all messed up. And when we come here and we lift our hearts and our lives before the throne of God and we worship Him with our mouths and we praise Him with our songs of praise and our prayers, God reaches down and He restores our souls. And as sure as I'm standing here this morning, there are souls here that need restoration. And that's what Sabbath's all about. If you let God do it. If you let God do it. Keeping the Sabbath is part of the path to God's offered restoration. God is offering us restoration. He offers us identity. He offers us salvation. He offers us restoration. By the way, for those of you that say, well, yeah, it doesn't really matter what day I keep, as long as I take one day off during the week and I just, you know, kick back, maybe go to the ocean, sit by the beach, throw my cell phone into the ocean, you know, whatever, just kind of take it easy, enjoy a day of rest. That's all I need. Well, then you're going to be kind of out of rhythm or out of line with what Isaiah 66:23 says, because it very clearly says that we will be keeping the Sabbath in heaven. Isaiah 66:23, we will be observing the Sabbath in heaven. So in summary, the Sabbath reminds us of our Creator God and who we are and our existence. The Sabbath reminds us that God has given us a distinct identity. By God's grace, we are His children. We are royal bloodline. The Sabbath is a day of restoration and celebration. Celebration that we have salvation through Jesus Christ. The Sabbath is God's sacred stamp of holiness on His people. This is God's holy Sabbath today. Will you learn to inhale the grace of God, the love of God, the beauty of His salvation? Or will Sabbath just be another day to hyperventilate your way through the week? Well, I'll tell you something right now, that it's been proven, and I have a friend who is a psychologist who will back this up, that if people don't learn to rest and relax, if they don't learn to let go of the stress and the strain of everyday life, it will affect them physically. Some of you may be realizing that right now in your own life. The Sabbath is important. It's as important as breathing oxygen. May God bless us as we continue inhaling the beauty of the Sabbath, as we continue worshiping together in His presence.